You're listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Great to see you guys again. That was fantastic worship. So glad that we can enjoy this morning together. This is Easter Sunday. And the phrase that we say to one another is that he is risen and he is risen. Can you say it with me? Indeed. Indeed, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In fact, the scriptures teach us as we talk about Easter, as we get into the teaching of God's word, as we talk about Easter, as we look to what God has said about this resurrection morning. And listen, I want you to key in. I'm going to pray in just a moment. I'm so glad that you joined us. I'm so glad that you're here. But I want you to hear this now. If Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead, the Bible itself teaches a phenomenal truth. We are fools. We are actually the highest level of fools. We are the biggest fools. We are bold-faced liars. We are pretenders. We are fake people. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is true. Jesus Christ was resurrected on the third day, Easter Sunday morning. He is the fulfillment of everything he said, everything that is talked about. And he comes now to you right where you're at, right where you're at. He comes to you wherever you're at in life, all of the dramas, all of the traumas, all of the serious moments that we find ourselves in right now. He's coming for you. Friday has come. He's been on the cross. Sunday is here. It's Friday and Sunday. He's risen from the dead. Some of the greatest news. I'm going to pray, friends. We're going to look at God's word. I'm going to tell you about the things that Jesus did after the resurrection. As we talked about that resurrection morning, I believe you're going to love it. It's fascinating things. It shares, it talks about God's heart in the scriptures as we relate to these things. And so right there in your living room, you're in your jammies. I'm wearing a blazer because it's just my habit oftentimes on Easter morning to put one on, and I like it. And so you just relax where you're at. But tune your heart and your mind to God. We're going to pray. Bow your heads right there where you're with me and pray. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray now for us gathered in your name, and I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would visit us right now, right here, bringing third day resurrection power this Easter morning into our hearts and into our lives. We love you, God, because you have first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Say it with me loud, loud right now. Say it. Amen. 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 I'm in Luke chapter 24, verse 36, and we're going to talk about the things that Jesus was doing right after the resurrection, what Jesus wanted to do after the resurrection. I'm going to read these verses to us right now out loud, which says, "And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them." Now, this is after the tomb. After the ladies have gone to the tomb, after Jesus appeared to the ladies at the tomb, now I'm kind of going a little farther in the story. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you, peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. Now you have to understand the absolute intensity of what they've experienced. And they're just overcome with emotion, overcome with reality. Sometimes some things can happen to us that are so real and so serious that we actually have a hard time in that moment believing them. It's not that we won't believe them. It's not that we can't believe them. But actually in the moment, it's so overwhelming. It's so difficult to actually believe. And that is the kind of sensory overload, in a sense, that these people were experiencing at that very moment as Jesus is risen from the dead. They were startled. They thought they saw a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" And look, he's going to say, "See my hands and see my feet." And then he says, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, He showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, and that's how you can tell that they were following him, but they were just on sensory overload. So they still disbelieved, but for joy, they were marveling and said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Just so amazing, so amazing. So listen, we're going to look very quickly at the things that Jesus wanted to do after the resurrection, the things that Jesus wanted to do after the resurrection. Now, I'm going to start this way because I want you to clue into what's going on. So let's just say it's you, and you've gone to the cross. You've gone to the cross. And remember, the Romans, they filleted and butchered Jesus' body. So they would have filleted and butchered you. Let's say it's me. They would have filleted and butchered me. They've just literally taken that cat of nine tails and they have torn the flesh of the skin, beaten the body within an inch of its life, literally, so that it will die quicker on that day, on the what we call the Good Friday. And so now that's happened to you. It's 3 days later. You're resurrected back from the dead. What would you do? Well, let me just tell you what I would do. And I think we would join together in what you would do. First thing I would do, one of the first things I would do is I would go say hello to Pontius Pilate. We know if we've read the Bible that we've seen Pontius Pilate. I would go talk to Pontius Pilate. I mean, I don't care if he was going potty number one or number two or anything like that in his personal life. I would go appear to him in body, just like we've read right here. And I don't know if I'd say a lot, but I just would eyeball him. You know, I'm not going to hurt him. I'm God. I love him. I want to save him from his soul. But look, I would eyeball him and I would look at him and I would go, yeah, that's right. It didn't work. Pontius, you should have listened to me first time. Then I would probably go and appear to those soldiers that beat me within an inch of my life. And I might have the same effect. And then while I was on the cross, I was being mocked by these religious leaders. And I would go to Annas and I would go to Caiaphas. These were people who, these were Jewish religious leaders. And they came together with the Romans to put me on the cross. And they have wickedness deep inside of their hearts. They weren't listening to the original faith of their Jewish faith with Moses. They were very political in that sense. And I would have gone to them. Maybe I would have told them a thing or two. Hey, guess what? I am God. And I've resurrected from the dead. That's what I would be prone to do. And I think you're the same. I don't think we're very different in that way. I think you would have been prone to go to them. But you know what's amazing? That's not what God did. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus had a completely different plan, and it's a really good one. Jesus actually wanted to do a few things. And so what's interesting about what he wanted to do was, first and foremost, Jesus wanted to see his friends, and he wanted his friends to see him. He wanted actually his friends to see him. And that's what we have here in the storyline. He wasn't concerned with dealing with the Pontius Pilates of the world and putting his enemies in their place. He wasn't concerned with trying to justify himself. Listen, my friends, God is not in the business of justifying himself. He has a plan and he has a purpose. And in these days and hours of our lives, he still has a plan and he still has a purpose. And so Jesus is about fulfilling that plan and that purpose in all of our lives right now. And so he's resurrected from the dead. And the first thing that he wants is he wants his friends to see him, which comes to a personal moment for you and I. Are you God's friend? Because what's fascinating is that the Bible teaches that he communicates and interacts differently with his friends than he does with other people. To be inside the kingdom of God is to receive certain kind of promises. So I know, for example, that when I'm praying to God, and the child, the son, or daughter of God can know this, that when they're praying to God, God, in fact, is listening. And that when they're weeping, God is there. And when they're going through tragedies and difficulties, God is there. That is very difficult than other people when they talk about praying who are actually not children of God or outside of the camp. They're on their way into the camp and they maybe don't know these things. Oftentimes they're talking to themselves in their very own mind. Talking to yourself in your very own mind is not prayer. Talking to the heart of God, that is prayer. Jesus came resurrected from the third day, and he wanted to see his friends, and he wanted his friends to see him. Right now, Jesus wants you to see him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to have those things right now. And so this conversation takes place, and these things take place. And so what's fascinating also in what we have just read, secondly now, after the cross and after the resurrection, after Easter morning, what is it that Jesus wanted to do? He wanted his friends to touch him. He wanted not just his friends to see him. Secondly, he wanted his friends to actually touch them. And that is some of the greatest news for you and I. People oftentimes will come to me and say, well, how can I touch Jesus? Listen, let me tell you that Jesus wants to touch you. He wants to come to you, and he wants to grab a hold of your life, and he wants to grab a hold of your heart, and he wants you to have the ability to touch him. That is one of the sweetest experiences in all of life. It is actually what you're designed for in your heart and your soul. Your body has a soul that is making it vibrate right now. Your body has a soul that is making it alive right now. Your mind is actually empowered by your soul, and your soul is designed to be touched by God, to actually touch God. It's a spiritual exercise that actually manifests itself in the physical world. So Jesus wanted that. I think it's so awesome. He wanted his friends to see him, and then he wanted his friends to touch them. There's so many stories in here that are talking about his friends clinging so tight to him, and he has to tell them, he has to go, look, you gotta let me go right now. I've got more business to do. And so this is what Jesus is doing. Third now, as we talk about these things that Jesus did after the resurrection, third that we're going to look at is Jesus wanted to enjoy his friends. Jesus actually wanted to enjoy his friends. I think what is missed sometimes in our understanding of God is that he has personality, and that he has a degrees of a sense of humor, that he believes in irony, and so he lives it out. And so one of the things that happened after the resurrection, there's one of the more fascinating stories. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm going to give you the reference. It's in Luke chapter 24, and it's in verse 13 and on. It's called The Road to Emmaus. And remember, we're talking about Jesus enjoying his friends. And so what's going on in this moment is that there's these people, they're leaving this Jewish festival called Passover. It's really difficult to even describe anything like this. We have nothing of a spirituality like it. Sadly, I'd probably have to reference something like the Super Bowl to maybe talk about how a nation can kind of stop, and everyone's more or less doing the exact thing. And so here Israel is in Jerusalem. They're celebrating the Passover. Jesus is actually the fulfillment. He is that fulfillment of that Passover. And so now these people are leaving this festival, and they're slowly making their way home. And they're on a road called the Road to Emmaus. And there Jesus appears to them, but in his appearance to them, they don't know him. In other words, he is still being cryptic, and he's kind of blinded them. And they're having this conversation. And so so Jesus is playing dumb. You know what it's like to play dumb sometimes? Jesus is actually playing dumb. And they're talking about, you know, various things related to the cross, related to Jesus. And he says, what things? That's literally in the Bible. Jesus says to them, what things? And they say to him, are you the only one who doesn't know? Are you the only one, this amazing story of this guy named Jesus? And they tell him all about it. And so Jesus then pivots and takes him on a Bible study, beginning in Genesis, all the way through the law and the prophets. And they take this long walk to Emmaus. And at the very end, they're actually at the place where they need to be at. And Jesus sits down now, and he's about to break bread with them, like the communion service kind of breaking bread. And then their eyes are open. They see Jesus, and then he goes on. I mean, it's just amazing. And so Jesus wanted to enjoy his friends. He wanted to interact with them in things like that. In other ways, there's other stories of ways in which he just wanted to enjoy his friends. And in the story we read, one of the things that just makes me just smile and to be humored by what Jesus is doing is when he says to them, he goes, look, you know, they're so intense. They're shocked that they're seeing him. He's in flesh and blood. He's not a ghost. He's not a spirit. He can show them his hands and his feet. And he says, have you anything here to eat? And I think it's because he wanted to calm them down. And so the Bible talks about, well, they gave him a piece of a broiled fish. In other words, it was so sudden, you would think that they would make him this big meal, but all they had was a little piece of fish that they had broiled. And they go, well, we just have this for you. And he takes it and he eats it in their presence. He's enjoying his friends. One of the greatest blessings of the resurrection, one of the greatest blessings of being a Christian, being born again, having the Holy Spirit inside you, is that you have deep inside of you this understanding that God treasures you and that he's actually enjoying you as you're going through life, even as you're going through hardship, even as you're going through difficulty, God is inside you actually enjoying you. And Jesus wanted to enjoy his friends on the road to Emmaus. Okay, fourth, as we talk about the fascinating things that happened right after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, fourth is that Jesus had things he needed to say to his friends. Fourth, Jesus had things he needed to say to his friends. So in Luke chapter 24, Jesus says that it was necessary for him to do the things that he did because he must fulfill the law of Moses and the prophets, that he is actually the fulfillment of the law and of the prophets. Jesus actually began his ministry teaching about this. In the very beginning of his ministry, we see this most prominently in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus actually says, I've not come here to abolish the law. I've actually come here to fulfill the law and the prophets. That included going to the cross. That included going to the cross on the Jewish festival of Passover. That included being the Paschal ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate Passover lamb. And then the third day resurrection put the end of those things and brought what we now call the new covenant. So Jesus had things that he needed to say to his friends. When you read the Bible, you realize that Jesus needed to open their minds. And so there's teachings where Jesus had to open their minds to understand Scripture. You are not, where you're at right now, going to understand God and understand the Scriptures through a pure rational mind. I can take you through the lessons of rationality. I can take you through the philosophies academically of how we know things. That will not lead you to what we call the genuine, authentic, saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is going to have to open your mind. You're going to have to receive faith and a gift of faith greater than you have now. It cannot be, oh, I'm going through a hard time right now, and so therefore I'm turning to God, although I'm glad you do, but I want you to know that it's deeper than that. It's more genuine than that. It's more true than that. Right here, right now, where you're at, so many people are afraid of death. So many people are afraid of loss of life. So many people are afraid of their loss of a career. And I'm telling you that God can open your mind and you can enter into the kingdom of God and experience the power of God and have it truly for yourself. John chapter 20, by way of a cross-reference, I'm just going to tell it to you briefly. Jesus comes, and again, Jesus had things that he needed to say to his friends. In John chapter 20, he tells them that I need to breathe on you the Holy Spirit. And he actually breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And they, again, are opened up in their hearts and their minds to understand the things of God. And so Jesus tells them, I need to breathe on you the Holy Spirit. He tells them that you need to go and forgive sin. And we need to teach the world to be forgiving people. We need to be those who are teaching about the forgiveness of God. And if you've sinned against God, you're carrying guilt and burdens of God. You're carrying shames from God. I guarantee you right now that God wants to remove it. And he wants to heal you of that and do great things. Jesus needed to teach them that as the Father has sent me, so I send you. These people were scared. So it's no fear. Fear is not something that is new. In fact, courage comes from understanding fear, embracing that fear, giving that fear to God, and embracing God and allowing God to embrace you. And so as the Father has sent me, so I send you. These people were initially afraid. They were huddled together in a little house, and God is coming to them. Jesus is coming to them after the resurrection and setting them free of the things that they were afraid of. And fifth, Jesus wanted to tell his friends to go and change the world and tell everybody about his love. He wanted them to know that his mission was not going to just stop with them, that they were actually going to experience a unique kind of power in him through the Holy Spirit. And he wanted them to go tell the world about the cross, about the resurrection. He wanted them to be his witness and to go give love and forgiveness and salvation to everybody on planet Earth, to spread that to the four corners of the world. He wanted them to do that. And these people who had no mechanical access to travel, you know, they didn't have a jet, they didn't have a plane, they didn't have a train. They didn't even have political rights in many ways. Some weren't necessarily very literate. These people with God now empowering them would actually go do that. And you and I are having this conversation right now because of the power of their witness. Listen, I know in these days, in these moments, that there are great fears that are possessing people. I want to read a verse. It's actually out of Psalm 34. This is a great psalm. And I believe it's going to speak to your heart right now as I read it to you. For Psalm 34, verse 18 says, and I want you to listen to this, says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." I want to repeat that one more time because I want you to have it. I want you to know it deep in your heart. I want you to know this is what God is actually saying to you right now. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He's near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. And so those who have been cast down, those who have been hurt by circumstance, the loss of a loved one, all the other things that can happen in life, the loss or the fear of a potential future loss, all the things our society is going through, the temptation is to believe that in these moments, actually, that God is far away. Oh, God, where are you? That God has somehow forgotten them. God, how could you have forgotten? Where are you, God, in all of these moments? The temptation is to think that. The Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that actually the truth, this is one of the Psalms, the Psalm here that says that when we are actually of a broken heart, are you brokenhearted? That God is actually right there. That he's actually near. And that he's actually holding you, and that he's beginning to lift you, and that he's beginning to work on your heart, and he knows and he cares and understands the totality of everything that you're going through. And so in order to embrace these things, there's lines that have to be crossed. And one of the lines that have to be crossed is that we have to believe in the resurrection. Fortunately, we have enough truth to know that we can actually believe in the resurrection, but activating that is a personal thing. You have to personally believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Second, you have to receive God's love into your life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, you have to actually understand there is sinfulness inside of you that you're going to need to repent of. You're going to need to repent of sin. And fourth, you're going to need to make that personal and activating faith by praying. And then fifth, and unique to Jesus, you need to acknowledge him publicly. And so you need to believe in the resurrection this day. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You need to repent of your sin, and you need to pray, and you need to acknowledge him publicly. And here's how you're going to acknowledge him publicly. It's going to be one of the most vulnerable things I've ever asked of someone to do. But in the privacy of your environment right now, right where you're at, right in your home, I want you to stand up and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I mean it. Right now, God is seeing you. Stand up. Get off of that couch, get off of that chair, get up from that carpet, get off of the floor, stand up right where you're at and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. And if you've never done this, then do it now. Do it right now. Do it publicly. Do it in front of your children. Do it in front of your parents. Do it in front of your loved one. Do it with whoever you're living with. Whatever the case is, do it. And do it right now. Stand up, lift your hands to heaven, and pray with me that Jesus Christ would come into your life, would actually be your God, and be your Savior and would be the seal around your life and would hold you, Jesus says, in the palm of his hands and carry you all the way to heaven, because I'm going to heaven, my friend, and you're coming with me. And so I want to pray with you right now to believe and to receive and to whatever needs to be repented of in your mind and your heart, or whatever the case is, to do actually that and to pray with me right now that Jesus Christ be your Savior and Lord. Are you standing up? Are you standing up right now? I want you to stand up and pray out loud with me. Pray right now. Jesus, be my God. Say it out loud. Jesus, be my God. Be my friend. Jesus, come near to me at this moment in life. I put you at the center of my life. I receive you as my Savior and Lord, because you are my Savior and Lord. I give you my heart. I give you everything that hurts inside of me. I give you my fears. I give you my sin. I place it all before you. I open my hands before you, Jesus, and I give you my very life. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You will grab me this day and every day forward, because you are now my God and I am your friend. Say it with me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, friends, if you don't know this, I have a website and a class I want you to take. Go to simplebiblecommentary.com. There's a course there called Focus on Jesus. I want you to click on it. It's a free course with 5 simple lessons, and you can learn about some things that are going to be great for you. So go to simplebiblecommentary.com. Focus on Jesus. It's a free course. You have to actually click on that button and just do what it says, and you're going to be blessed this Easter day. He is risen. Say it with me. He's risen indeed. I love you. I love you. I love you very much. And Jesus Christ all the more. Go in peace and be blessed this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.